టుడే మాతాజీస్ రీడింగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీ చైతన్య చరిత్రామృత అంత్య లీల 9.80 అన్వర్డ్స్ మాతాజీ, ప్లీజ్ టేక్ ఓవర్ ద కాల్. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ మాతాజీ ఫర్ యువర్ అసోసియేషన్ ఇన్ ద కాల్.
Thank you, Mataji, for giving me this opportunity. Thanks to all the organizers for giving me this opportunity to read and go deeper into the Chaitanya Charitamrita. As always, I would like to say that I'm not qualified to even go into the Antya Leela pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's just my humble attempt to try and understand whatever I can. And I'm sorry, Anjana Mataji, I didn't introduce myself. I was preoccupied with trying to get the screens right. So my Dandavat Pranams to all the devotees on the call. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, we will start with the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే గిరిరాజస్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. సో హియర్ వి ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ స్టడింగ్ ది పాస్ట్ టైమ్స్ from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, Chapter 9. And this is the Deliverance of Gopinath Patanayaka, if is that the right title? So we'll be continuing from Antya Leela 980 onwards. And I'll just read the verses and the translations.
Eta Bali Kashi Mishra Gela Swamandire Madhyane Pratapa Rudra Aile Tanra Ghare.
After saying this, Kashi Mishra left the abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and returned to his own temple. At noon, King Pratap Rudra came to Kashi Mishra's home. 81.
Pratapa Rudrera Eka Achaye Niyame Yatadina Rahe Tenha Sri Purushottame.
As long as King Pratap Rudra stayed in Purushottama, he performed one regular duty.
Nitya Asikare Mishrera Pada Samvahana Jagannatha Sevara Kare Bhiyana Shravana.
He would come daily to the house of Kashi Mishra to massage his lotus feet. The king would also hear from him about how opulently Lord Jagannatha was being served. 83.
Raja Mishrera Charana Yabe Chapite Lagila Tabe Mishra Tanre Kichu Bhangite Kahila.
When the king began pressing his lotus feet, Kashi Mishra informed him about something through hints.
Devashuna ara eka aparupa bata Mahaprabhu kshetra chhadi abena alal natha.
My dear king, he said, please hear one uncommon item of news. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to leave Jagannath Puri and go to Alal Nath. 85.
Shuni raja dukhi haila puchhile na karana tabe mishra kahe tanre sabha vivarana.
When the king heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Alal Natha, he was very unhappy and inquired about the reason. Then Kashi Mishra informed him of all the details.
86. Gopinatha Pathanayaka Yabe Changa Chadaila Tara Sevaka Sabha Ashi Prabhu Reka Hila.
When Gopinath Pathanayaka was lifted onto the Changa, he said, All his servants went to inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Kashi Mishra is relating this about Gopinath Patnaika to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. 87. Shuniyakshobhita haila Mahaprabhura mana krodhe Gopinathe kaila bahuta bhatsana. Hearing about the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely sorry at heart, and in anger, he chastised Gopinath Patanayaka.
Ajitendriya hanya kare raja vishaya, nana asat pathe kare raja dravya vyaya.
Because he is mad after sense gratification, the Lord said, he acts as a government servant, but spends the government's revenue for various sinful activities. We have 11 more verses to go.
Brahma swadhika e hai rajadhana, taha hari bhoga kare mahapapi jana.
The revenue of the government is more sacred than the property of a brahmana. One who misappropriates the government's money and uses it to enjoy sense gratification is most sinful.
990. Raja ra vartana khaya ara churi kare, raja dandya haya se shastre ra vichare.
One who serves the government but misappropriates the government's revenue is liable to be punished by the king. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures.
Nija kaudi mage raja nahi kare danda, raja mahadharmika e hae papi bhanda.
The king wanted his revenue paid and did not want to enforce punishment. Therefore, the king is certainly very religious, but Gopinath Patanayaka is a great cheat. So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being very heavy with Gopinath Patanayaka here.
992. Raja kadi na deya amare phukare, e maha dukha iha kesa hite pare.
He does not pay the revenue to the king, but he wants my help for release. This is a greatly sinful affair. I cannot tolerate it here.
93. Ala natha yahi taha nishchinte rahimu, vishaira bhala manda varta na sunimu.
Therefore, I shall leave Jagannath Puri and go to Alalnatha, where I shall live peacefully and not hear about all these affairs of materialistic people.
94. Eta shuni kahe raja panyamane vyatha sabadravya chado yadi prabhu rahena etha.
When King Pratap Rudra heard all these details, he felt great pain in his mind. I shall give up all that is due from Gopinath Patanayaka, he said, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will stay here at Jagannath Puri. So we see King Pratap Rudra's attitude.
95. Eka kshana prabhura yadi paye darshana, koti chintamani labha nahi tarasama.
If even for a moment I could get an interview with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I would not care for the profit of millions of chintamani stones. So we see the renounced nature of the king Pratap Rudra here in this verse.
96. Kona chara padharta e dui laksha kahana, prana raja karo prabhupade nirmanchana.
I do not care about the small sum of 200,000 kahanas. What to speak of this? I would indeed sacrifice everything at the lotus feet of the Lord, including my life and kingdom.
97. Mishra kahe kaudi chadiba nahe prabhu ramana, tara dukha paya eina yaya sahana.
Kashi Mishra hinted to the king, it is not the Lord's desire that you forfeit the payment. He is unhappy only because the whole family is troubled.
98. The king replied, Raja kahe tare ame dukha nahi diye, change chada khadge dhara ami na janiye.
The king replied, I had no desire to give pain to Gopinath Patanayaka and his family, nor did I know about his being lifted onto the changa to be thrown on the swords and killed.
पुरुषोत्तम जाना रे तेहा कैला परिहासा सही जाना तारे देखायला मित्य त्रासा। इस नियर पुरुषोत्तम जाना देफोर द प्रिंस ट्राइड टू स्केयर हिम एज अ पनिशमेंट। को तुम ही यहाँ प्रभु रे राखा यत्न करी ए मुई तहारे छाड़ी नो सब कौड़ी। गो पर्सनली टू श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु एंड कीप हिम एट जगन्नाथपुरी विद ग्रेट अटेंशन। आई शेल एक्सक्यूज गोपीनाथ पटनायका फ्रॉम ऑल हिज डेड्स। सो दिस दीज वर्ड्स आर एक्चुअली स्पोकन बाय द किंग। पुरुषोत्तम जाना हिज एल्डेस्ट सन वी सी एक्चुअली प्रताप रुद्र किंग प्रताप रुद्र फादर्स नेम वॉज पुरुषोत्तम। सो I don't know, at least in South, we have this tradition that the child, the firstborn at least, they get the name of the grandparents. And it's kind of a funny thing. In Kerala, we had a friend who was, he was my husband's colleague, and his name was Matthews James, and his son's name was James Matthew. And so his father's name was James Matthew, and his father's name was Matthew James. So that keeps going on. So that's kind of like a tradition, at least in India, some parts of India. Yeah. So, just before we start off discussing today's subject matter, I would just like to, you know, do a brief recap because we just had a break of 3 days, after which we are continuing with this Antilila pastimes from chapter 9. So we see here that Gopinath Patanayaka, who works for Raja Pratap Rudra, he actually, was keeping some funds he collected as, as taxes or whatever, and he did not pay the entire amount to the government treasury. So he was actually asked to pay back that money which he owed to the government. But for some reason, he did not have this money with him. So in exchange, he offered that he would, you know, try to pay in kind, pay back in kind. And, over the course of time, from his business, he tried to pay back the debt which he owed to the government. So at that time, he brings a few horses, best horses of his. And this elder son, the Barajana, as we see, he actually kind of, wants to put him down, and he quotes a very less price for the horses. And so this kind of irritates Gopinath Patanayaka. And we also see that his son had that idiosyncrasy of, kind of trying to move his head up and down. And so Gopinath Patanayaka makes a remark, a snide remark at his physical idiosyncrasy. And so this hurts the prince a lot. So he wants to take, he wants to avenge his insult with Gopinath Patanayaka. So he poisons his dad's ears and says all kinds of things. And it's written in the few earlier verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita that King Pratap Rudra just tells him, okay, do whatever you think is fit. You do according to the situation. So he takes this chance and he, tries to get Gopinath Patanayaka impaled with these, the bed of knives or swords. So he's actually being hung there to be impaled by all the sharp knives. And at that time, the devotees who see this plight of Gopinath Patanayaka, they run over to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and seek his help to actually rescue Gopinath Patanayaka. Soon, what happens is that he also, the family of Gopinath Patanayaka is also brought to the scene, and we see Vaninath, who tries to protest this, is also arrested. So this is the backdrop, and then why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inconceivable potencies, the Harichandana, the servant, is sent to King Pratap Rudra, and Gopinath Patanayaka is actually saved from this death punishment. And at that time, Kashi Mishra, he actually goes to, see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that, I don't want to be here. I mean, because
all these material things, I don't have time, and I don't want to get involved in all these material things. This is too much for me. And he says that he wants to leave Jagannath Puri and go to Alalnath. So at that time, he actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we just read today, he has some very heavy words to use for Gopinath Patanayaka. And so that's when, Kashi Mishra tries to actually explain to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, Gopinath Patanayaka did not have any kind of material intentions in mind. He was a very great devotee of the Lord, and things just took this turn. And so at this time, he tells the Lord not to leave Jagannath Puri and, try to protect Gopinath Patanayaka. And at that time, he thinks it's important for the king to know what is in the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he goes back to his temple, in Kashi Mishra's house, there was a small room called Gambhira where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually stayed. And Kashi Mishra worshipped these deities of Sri Sri Radha Kanta. And and there were two other deities which were handed to him, but the Bhada Ganesh is at the back end of the Jagannath Puri temple, or front end. It's worshipped in the temple premises. And so he was worshipping Radha Kanta deities there. So he went back to his temple. And then, Pratapa Rudra, he had this daily habit of visiting, because he actually looked up to Kashi Mishra as his spiritual mentor or his spiritual guide. So he used to go and massage his feet and try to learn how else he can serve the Jagannath Puri deities. So he always went there and tried to get some association of Kashi Mishra. And at that time, Kashi Mishra actually tells him how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very unhappy and he wants to leave Jagannath Puri and actually... he wants to leave Jagannath Puri and go to Alalnath because he doesn't want to be disturbed by all these mundane things. And he also explains to him how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feels about Gopinath Patanayaka. So at this, we see that King Pratap Rudra, he is actually very alarmed and shocked to hear this. And his immediate reaction is somehow to stop Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from leaving Jagannath Puri. He is such a great devout devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the thought that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would leave Jagannath Puri, it actually, he was ready to do anything. As we saw in the verses today, he said, I would do anything to actually make Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stay here. What is the worth of these 200,000 kahanas? They mean nothing to me, I will even absolve Gopinath Patanayak of all his, whatever money he owes. I will pardon all that. He doesn't have to pay me back anything. And he also says that, Gopinath Patanayaka and his family are very dear to me. Later verses, I think, or... So he says, they are very dear to me, and please tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, they mean a lot to me, and they are very close to my heart, like that. So we see how the attitude of King Pratap Rudra, was. Though he was involved in managing a kingdom, and ruling a kingdom is no joke, but still his... all his mind was, and all his activities and efforts were actually aimed at satisfying or pleasing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The very house of Kashi Mishra was actually gifted by King Pratap Rudra to Kashi Mishra so that he could house Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this Kashi Mishra's house is very close to the Jagannath Puri temple, and there in that small room, Gambhira, that's where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent the later part of his life. And we see that how King Pratap Rudra, actually not just being a king, he was a rishi in one sense. So this is the qualification. Srila Prabhupada also quotes in some other lectures elsewhere. He says that, you know, the Raja must not be just a Raja. He must be a Raja Rishi. That is, he must be a very saintly person. He must be very, you know, well-educated or well-learned in Shastras and scriptures so that he can actually give proper guidance to his, you know, to his citizens, to his masses, and not, and he should be like a rishi, you know, or a saintly person who has so much control over his own emotions, his own anger, his own, you know, all kind of these material propensities. That a rishi is somebody who has a lot of self-restraint, and, you know, and who is, who seeks the Lord's lotus feet for guidance. So we see that this King Pratap Rudra is one such person. He's not just a king, but he is so highly spiritual and so high up there. And he is ready to do anything to actually make, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stay back here. So from this pastime so far, there are several lessons, you know, that we can learn from this pastime. So at this point of time, because so many, you know, senior and advanced devotees are there on this call, I would just open up the call for anybody who wants to share what is one lesson or two lessons they feel that they learned, you know, from this pastime. What is the main takeaway they understand from this pastime? So anybody who wants to share, please go ahead. Komodki Mataji, would you like to say something? Kirtida Mataji, Brinda, Anjana Gopika.
Komodki Mataji wants to say something. Mataji, you are unmuted.
I joined a little. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. When we have to take the responsibility when we take, then we have to follow properly, and not like collecting the money. It's not be so mismanaged. And so that's what I get the lesson. So then another one, we have to. Doesn't matter. We have to pay any somehow by being punished, or we have to give the money, however we can do like that. There's one enough. There's one enough. Yeah, one enough. But tonight, I don't know. Yeah, I don't have so much thinking power like that, like everybody else does. I can just be, then I can say, okay.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing that point. Yeah, we need to be careful whenever we are in a position of authority, like Mataji said, that we cannot or we should not take any advantage of that position and be more extra careful that how we are, you know, dealing with our responsibility. As they say, every, you know, with authority comes responsibility. So whenever we are in a position of authority, we need to be very doubly careful about how we are handling things. Because like in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, yad yad acharati shreshtha tate devitaro janaha. So the people, the common masses of people tend to follow what a great man does. So a position of authority is not a joke. And if we feel that we are not able to maintain those high standards, we see, for example, here King Pratap Rudra, how he was a saintly king and he was so well poised to be, you know, to perform the functions of a king, but in a saintly manner. Like he was his... you know, mind was always dedicated to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with authority comes responsibility. Anybody else wants to share any other point? There's so many lessons. Okay, it appears the devotees are very shy. So I'll just share something I found from the notes of His Holiness Dhanudhar Swami Maharaj. And he says that lesson one is, in the midst of danger, one should fearlessly take shelter of the holy name. So this was actually exhibited, this quality of how we should take shelter of the holy name was actually exhibited by whom in this pastime? Vaninath. So we see that Gopinath's brother Vaninath, who was also arrested, he did not get perturbed, but he took this opportunity and started chanting the Mahamantra. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asks, so what was Vaninath doing? The messenger, he actually tells him that he was actually chanting the Lord's name. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with this behavior of Vaninath. So this is one lesson Maharaj says, that when in midst of any danger, we should take the shelter of the holy name. Lesson two. One should not unnecessarily bring their social problems to a person who has dedicated himself to chanting and distribute the holy name of the of Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see, was actually very disturbed by, you know, getting himself involved in these mundane affairs, and he wanted to move to Aralnath. So we see that it's not a good idea to take material problems to great people or our spiritual masters, for example. It is nice to discuss our spiritual growth or progress with our spiritual master. And of course, sometimes there are, hindrances which may be material in nature, but related to our spiritual progress. And that is something, you know, we may want to discuss with our spiritual master. Like, for example, something, some habit of ours is, you know, stopping us from doing more seva, or stopping us from chanting more attentively. You know, personally, for me, waking up every day at 4 o'clock, maybe some days I can do it, but every day at 4 o'clock doesn't seem very practical to me because of my, whatever other things I do during my day. So these kind of things I do need to take up with my spiritual master and discuss how I can actually improve myself and move towards the actual process of sadhana. But other mundane things, you know, which, you know, sometimes we may be investing in some property. This is just for example. We may be investing in some property and trying to seek the guru's blessing, you know, to invest in that property or things like that. I mean, we should avoid doing such things because they are of absolutely no importance to the spiritual master, and it's a waste of his time because they are concentrating, you know, on the service to their guru and service to Lord Krishna. So their minds are not, in one sense, attuned to these kind of mundane affairs. So it's not a good thing to approach our spiritual masters with mundane, you know, queries and things like that. Once, for whatever reason, I was serving my Guru Maharaj, and at that time I sought his permission because I was doing my master's and I was graduating, so I had to go for my graduation ceremony. So I sought permission from my Guru Maharaj, and I told him that Maharaj, tomorrow, like I met him on Friday, so I said I may not be able to go for service Saturday, so please forgive me because I have this, I'm graduating. So Guru Maharaj asked me, so what are you graduating, what are you doing? Then I told him that I'm graduating my master's program and this and that. And then Maharaj, you know, he gave that smile, you know, like the way his face turned, like he could care less, you know, like, I mean, these things don't appeal to Maharajas at all. Like, I could sense from the expression on his face that, you know, something maybe I should not have brought up in front of him. Maybe I should have just told I'm a little busy and left. I need not have brought up this actual situation in front of him. So, yeah, they're above these things, and it's better not to actually disturb our spiritual masters or people, you know, in that high advanced state of devotion with mundane affairs. So this is lesson number two. And lesson number three, if a devotee purposefully commits the same offense again and again, they should not necessarily expect protection from God. So we see here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually, by his inconceivable potencies, he arranges for this Harichandana to go and inform the king. And, you know, he saves Gopinath Patanaik from this precarious situation of being impaled, you know, by the sharp things. So, but if a devotee purposefully, you know, like even the Apichetsu Duracharo verse, we see that accidental fall down by a devotee, you know, due to whatever reasons, you know, these anarthas which we have may crop up due to several reasons. Maybe it is something we acquired from our past karma. I mean, maybe it is something else, you know, altogether, which we are trying to take a revenge on somebody or something like that. So many reasons are there why these kind of anarthas may pop up, you know, at a particular point of time like that. We also saw in Parikshit Maharaj's episode how, you know, Sringi, he does this, you know, like, though being a Brahmana son, he gets irritated when he sees that, you know, him putting a snake around his dad's neck. So when he heard that. So, you know, it's possible that for whatever reason, you know, we may, our anarthas may surface at some point of time, but you know, if it is an accidental thing, if it's an accidental offense, you know, Lord Krishna may still forgive us, that, you know, he may give us a chance and try to put us on, back on the right path. But that is no reason, you know, just because you're a devotee, you know, we say that I'm being Krishna conscious and I'm chanting every day, so I can commit all kinds of offenses I want and the Lord will be there to protect me. So that is no reason to behave that way. So once is okay, but we should not be like a repeat offender, because that is unforgivable in the eyes of the Lord. Lesson four. One should not approach the Lord with mundane demands. So we saw earlier that lesson two was, one should not unnecessarily bring social problems to a person who has dedicated himself, you know, to the service of Lord Krishna. And now we see that we should not even approach the Lord with mundane demands. So this is even a bigger lesson, you know. We hear many times that, you know, if we have some problems, we go to Krishna and we cry out to him and, you know, seek his blessings. As a sadhaka who is just trying to, you know, start his devotional life, you know, in the beginning, we may be, you know, doing those things like going to Lord Krishna and appealing to him for some material kind of distress we are in or some problem which we are facing. But as we, you know, go high up the ladder of devotional service, our only aim, our approach should be that, you know, whatever the Lord does for me is the best. And perhaps I don't know at this point of time what's happening, but we do not even disturb the Lord, you know, with mundane things. Like a pure devotee, he is like in Shikshashtakam verse, Ashrishyava Padaratam Pinashtuma Madarshanatman Mahatam. Like he says, you can even crush me, trample me with your feet. But still, you know, he wants to hold on to the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is the mood of a devotee, that as we advance, you know, we should find ourselves doing that, asking lesser, you know, mundane things from the Lord and perhaps more things like, how can I do real service with the real, you know, devotion? Many times, personally speaking, I find myself pretending to be doing devotional service, whereas my mind is elsewhere. So as we progress, the prayer to the Lord should be that somehow or other, you know, I want to do my seva with full dedication, with full love for Krishna. As Krishna says in the verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Tayo, he looks at the love with which we offer, even patram, leaf, flower, fruit, or water. So he is looking only at the love of devotion which we have towards the Lord, not the actual offering. I mean, what can the Lord expect from us? The whole creation of this world is the Lord's, and what can we offer to him that is not his, right? So everything is His, even our own body, our own existence, our own creation, everything is His. So it is actually, you know, like they say, taking the Ganges water and offering the water to the Ganges herself. So that's what we're doing when we're trying to offer anything to the Lord. So so even then he's so merciful and compassionate that he accepts our offering, but he's actually looking for the love because it's his own thing, right? I mean, the whole, everything we offer to him is his own creation. So what he is actually looking for is the love which we're giving him. So that should be our prayer to the Lord, not like for mundane, you know, demands, mundane needs. And lesson five, although it is not proper for a devotee to ask the Lord for his own personal happiness and distress, one can pray to the Lord to protect his surrendered soul. So this is very, very nice, right? How we see the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they saw Gopinath Patanayaka was in such a distressful situation, they actually approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requested him to actually get him out of this life and death situation. So that is a nice thing. We can always, you know, request the Lord, not for our own mundane needs, but we can always request the Lord to for the you know, benefit of another devotee. So it's a good thing to, you know, put our plea in front of the Lord whenever another devotee who we see is in any kind of distress like that. So it's a good idea that we should ask for the benefit. Like sometimes, you know, we have seen that some of our Guru Maharajas may not be in good health conditions, or some for any reason, you know, they may be going through something. So we all tend to pray for our gurus, I mean, for all the gurus, so that, you know, they can guide us more because we are benefiting by their association. So in that sense of, you know, in that mood, it's okay. That's what Maharaj is saying, that it's okay to ask the Lord, you know, for not for our own personal happiness, but for the for another devotee who is actually serving the Lord so nicely, so that, you know, ultimately it's going to help our spiritual life, because the longer we get the association of such a person, we're going to advance. So this is the lesson number five from this chapter. There are five lessons in all. I'll just repeat. In the midst of danger, one should fearlessly take shelter of the holy name, like Vaninatha. One should not unnecessarily bring social problems to a person who has dedicated himself to chanting and distributing the holy name of Lord Krishna. Third, if a devotee purposefully commits the same offense again and again, they should not necessarily expect protection from God. So Rakshishyati iti Vishwaso does not apply when you're a repeat offender. Lesson four, one should not approach the Lord with mundane demands. Lesson five, although it is not proper for a devotee to ask the Lord for his own personal happiness and distress, one can pray to the Lord to protect his surrendered soul. So it's okay to ask some favors for another devotee, you know, from whose association we may be able to make some more advancement in our spiritual life. So these are five lessons Maharaj actually discusses from this chapter. And we'll move on. Actually, I was thinking that you know, it would be a great opportunity to glorify Maharaj Pratap Rudra a little bit more, you know, because the remaining verses, we'll see how Maharaj Pratap Rudra acts in order to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, the kind of steps he takes. So there's a lot of inspiration to be derived, you know, from Maharaj Pratap Rudra's life and activities. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he was he's an incarnation of Indradumna and Lord Indra. So this Indradumna is none other than the personality, you know, the behind the Jagannath temple pastime, the Jagannath Puri pastime. So that's why, you know, some acharyas say that Maharaj Pratap Rudra was so attached to Jagannath Puri and the deities, and he was serving them. You see, we saw how he went to Kashi Mishra's house, and he used to inquire how are the Jagannath deities being served. Like, he was very careful about his service to the lordships. So he was a very devout king. Like, in sense, he's like, we already saw how his whole life revolved around pleasing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his father Purushottama was also, you know, a very devout king. It is said that Maharaja Pratap Rudra, he had several kingly responsibilities, because he actually ruled part of India starting from the western bank of Ganges until all the way until Karnataka. So all this these states were under his rule. And to the east of the Ganges was ruled by Shah Hussein, and we know the famous Rupa Sanatana brothers. They worked under Shah Hussein, they were employed in his cabinet. And to the southern side was Krishnadevaraya, the King Krishnadevaraya. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a very valiant king, and he actually had to fight many small battles to keep up, with the neighboring kings and the neighboring rulers, because he wanted to keep his tract of land and protect his citizens. So despite his kingly duties, despite the duties of a king, he had to do so many battles. But still, we see that how, he was focused on pleasing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First time he actually sees Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then when he hears about him, he makes so many attempts to actually get the audience of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But, it gets very difficult for him, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, meeting a king would be against his, he's in the sannyasi order of life. And he says that it would be like, trying to drink the milk which is touched by a serpent. He gives so many analogies like that, saying that he should never associate with a king like that, but we see on several occasions the king appeals to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, so all these great personalities, these great associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somehow or other try to convince Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet with Pratap Rudra, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not give in at all, but still Pratap Rudra, as a king, he does not lose hope. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think this is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he kind of hints, that okay, I cannot meet the king, but it's okay for me to, I think it's okay to meet the prince. So that time, Pratap Rudra is very thrilled, actually, with this advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he sends his son over to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces his son, and he is filled with the love of Godhead. And then Pratap Rudra again embraces his son, and he gets that love of Godhead from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his son. So we see that how one way or the other he wanted to get, darshan and the audience of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after so many different attempts, at last during the Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra, during a time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking some rest, he's advised to go and massage his feet, So he dresses himself up as a very ordinary, low person, and he tries to go and serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wins his heart over at that time. So we see that though he was, such a great king, and he had so many responsibilities, there is some details regarding, how these, they were called the Gajapati kings. And this is not a scriptural source, but this is a historical source. I'm quoting from, what was their routine like? So the Gajapati king gets up from bed early in the morning, 2 hours before sunrise, and salutes two Brahmins before looking at any other person. Then, accompanied by the 16 Patras, the Brahminical council, he goes on a ride of about 20 or 30 miles before returning to the palace. After taking his bath, he engages himself in the daily worship of Lord Jagannath, after which he takes his midday meal. After food, he recites the Ramayana. Then, putting on official robes bedecked with jewels, he sits in the court and transacts his daily business. So the morning half of his day is all towards spiritual activities. We see that He engages himself, you know, he is in the company of Brahmanas, trying to learn something, reading the Ramayana and things like that. And only the later half of the day is he even giving time to the, you know, administrative duties. So more details are also given. This is an article by Satya Rajadasa Prabhu. And documents of the Jagannath temple inform us that even before meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Pratap Rudra followed the custom of sweeping the road before Lord Jagannath's chariot. So he used to take this position of a sweeper, you know, when the Rath Yatra used to happen. So he used to sweep the road before Lord Jagannath, you know, and the Rath Yatra started. So he also, there is also more details of how he wanted to actually preserve these memories of these acharyas. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went on his Vrindavan Yatra, actually he was in so much distress that he couldn't bear that separation, you know, and when he went on his South Indian Yatra, he couldn't bear separation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he made a very nice, big, beautiful murti of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also elsewhere it stated that because, you know, the acharyas were leaving one after the other, he wanted to preserve their memories and so made very beautiful paintings also, you know, of the associates of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will read one such pastime. The king's soft devotional heart is perhaps most clearly evident in the story behind a painting he commissioned. After many of the Lord's intimate associates had passed on, the king wanted to immortalize them for the pleasure of the remaining Vaishnavas, particularly for Srinivasa, a greatly respected second generation devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As the story goes, when Srinivasa arrived in Puri, he hoped to study the Bhagavatam under Gadadhar Pandit. But Gadadhar's manuscript had been irreparably damaged by his tears of spiritual ecstasy. So he sent Srinivasa back to Bengal to get another copy. But by the time he returned, Gadadhar had passed away, leaving Srinivasa disconsolate. To assuage Srinivasa's grief, Maharaj Pratap Rudra gave him the painting so that he could regularly meditate on the Lord and his devotees. So this is another pastime. We see how, you know, King Pratap Rudra, he not only, you know, was focused on pleasing Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he took so much care of all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. You know, he wanted to be in the background. Like we see, even now he says that, you know, do not tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I'm going to pardon him of all his things. And, you know, like, you know, he likes to do things in the background. Earlier also, we've seen that he gives some money to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's assistants and assistant and, you know, like that. We see that so many instances, he is trying to be in the background and very humbly perform his duty so as not to show off, you know, that he's such a wealthy king and he's capable of doing it, but he wants to remain in the background and do his you know, spiritual activities very humbly. So this is another lesson we learn from King Pratap Rudra, that this is really not a wise thing to show off our spiritual sadhana or spiritual activity services which we do. We should do it very in a very subtle way, that, you know, at least in India, when growing up, my mom used to say, whenever you're doing a vrata or anything like that, she used to say, don't tell it to anybody, you know, then you lose the fruit of following that vrata or doing that austerity. So, you know, we tend not to advertise our services or any austerities or anything we try to do to please the Lord. You know, it has to be kept kind of like a secret. So this is one other thing we can, you know, learn from King Pratap Rudra's life. There are more beautiful instances, you know, listed in this article by Satyaraj Prabhu. I'm just trying to see if, I'm trying to see if there is something which we may not have read earlier. There was another article also I read from ISKCON Desire Tree, which discusses King Pratap Rudra's when he was, I tend to forget if it was his father or him, when he was trying to fight a battle with another king, with the, I think it was Pratap Rudra. So he was about to lose the battle. So then he actually goes and takes shelter of Sri Lord Jagannath and prays to him and asks him, you know, what can be done in such a situation. And he gets the personal message of, Lord Jagannath's protection to him. And after that, you know, he's able to actually win over that battle. And there is this description of how when he's going, to the battlefield, he actually meets a person who says that two boys, they came and gave, something, some object to him. And they told him that this should be given to the king. So when he sees that, he realizes that these two are none other than Jagannath and Baladev, who have actually come and tried to bless him. So he takes this as a message from Lord Jagannath, trying to protect him, and he goes to the battle with renewed enthusiasm. So there's other details like this, which are also mentioned elsewhere in several articles, written by devotees. So from all this, we come to understand that King Pratap Rudra, he was not only a great administrator, but also a great devotee of the Lord, and who was ready to take any amount of risk, just to please the Lord. And we also saw how his nature was so renounced. He said, I would give up anything, to actually make sure that the Lord stays back in Jagannath Puri. So we see that, being in a very high position or a position of authority is no joke, and we have to take our duty seriously, and all the more, we have to make efforts to see that we maintain a high standard of character, a high standard of accountability, a high standard of, everything, God consciousness, mainly to speak with, because from being Krishna conscious, all the other qualities, the godly divine qualities will come to us naturally. So a person who wants to attain good qualities must first be a great devotee, because then these qualities will come to him or her very naturally. So we see how King Pratap Rudra, he was exemplary in so many ways. There are so many other pastimes of great kings also, described in our Srimad Bhagavatam. We also know of Parikshit Maharaj, how when he saw, Kali personified, was actually beating a bull and a cow. The bull was Dharma, not Dharmaraj, and the cow was Dharti or Dhara. So he was so infuriated when he saw the scene in his kingdom that he couldn't believe that such a thing was happening. And he wanted to kill that person, Kali personified right there. He then, he wants to get a statement, because like how we also see in our present times, unless we file an FIR, like they say in India, unless we find a formal complaint, against the person with the police or the cops, they cannot take any action, because then it's a civil matter. It's not a criminal matter that police can handle or the cop can handle. So so King Parikshit, he also, asked the cow and the bull as to who is the perpetrator of this, who is doing this to you, who is doing this wrong thing to you, though the bull and the cow, they knew that it was Kali personified. They very well knew who was doing this to them. But still, they answer back. They are also very highly realized souls. So they answer back in saying that, the causes of karma are very difficult or very difficult to actually comprehend. The punishment, the way we're getting beaten now could be due to several reasons. Maybe it's our past karma, we did something wrong. They say or maybe it's due to the modes of material nature, or maybe it's due to something else. So there are so many different reasons, why we are getting beaten. So, I mean, imagine ourselves in that position. If even as a child, perhaps, you know, if our sister or brother is hitting us, mommy, he is hitting me, you know, we are immediately trying to point, right? But the bull and the cow, they are great personalities, and they're none other than Dharmaraj and Dhara. So the reply they give is also at that level, you know, and they don't directly point at Kali there, but then they are saying there could be several reasons, you know, for the kind of treatment we are getting at this, you know, and so King Parikshit is, you know, kind of, he's like, look at the replies of these people, they're not even ready to put the blame, you know. So a saintly person or a devoted person, he does not look for excuses to actually put the blame on somebody, you know, for any kind of situation. Or, you know, as a common person, you know, we may think we are looking for the first reason to see, oh, you know, what made me do this? I'm not such a person, you know, I'm so saintly, but maybe it was due to that person who provoked me that I acted in this way. And I mean, we're trying to look to put the blame on somebody all the time, but here we see the Dharma and Dhara, they're being beaten by Kali, but still they're not able to put the blame on him. So that is, you know, very exemplary, in which we can see how if we are devoted to the Lord, we actually get these divine qualities. Then there's so many other examples too of how Maharaj Yudhishthira, he ruled his planet. And, you know, and also King Prithu, he was such a powerful king, you know. He was angry with Bhumi Mata when she was not giving him the produce. So he milks, you know, there's a separate chapter we saw how he milks the Mother Earth, you know, for all the necessities. And he goes on to become such a powerful king. And and at one point of time, he's conducting this Ashwamedha Yajna, you know, the 100 sacrifices. And Indra, he actually gets very, very scared now, because Indra has, to his credit, you know, of performing these sacrifices, and he doesn't want Prithu to supersede him. But Prithu is all prepared, you know, because he's such a powerful king and such a great, he was in fact Lord incarnate, and such a powerful king and such a great ruler, you know, like all his citizens were happy, and you know, like so much authority and power he had. But then we see how Lord Brahma, he comes and tells him that do not, you know, conduct this last sacrifice, just let go of it. You know, how Indra is, he needs his position there as, you know, the superior, so let go of it. And then we see how Lord Vishnu also, he gives audience to Maharaj Prithu. And he realizes, he tells him that, you know, you should not be doing this. Let Indra have his power that way. So then Lord Prithu is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that his eyes were filled with tears, you know, when he saw the Lord, he got the personal darshan of the Lord, and he couldn't speak much, but then again, he wants to glorify the Lord. So then he tries to glorify the Lord, and he says all these things, the sacrifices, who is the benefactor, you know, or beneficiary of all the sacrifices, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. So it is Lord Krishna. So it's all an effort, you know, all this Ashwamedha Yajnas, all these things which I'm doing is just an effort to please the Lord. And when you're not satisfied, what is the point of me going ahead with the sacrifice? So he gives up this, you know, the 100th sacrifice. He just gives up. He just says, all I want to do now is surrender to your lotus feet. He cries, you know, he has so much tears in his eyes. He cannot even see the Lord properly. He was overwhelmed with emotions when he saw the Lord. And so he says that my only purpose of my life is to dedicate myself to your lotus feet. You know, what is the use of the sacrifice and all these things? We see how, you know, so many examples are there. There's another pastime also regarding an incident at Lord Rama's court that I wanted to do, but I'm seeing it's already 11 o'clock. So I will stop here. And again, I beg forgiveness for anything I may have spoken wrong. And please do feel free to correct me, and please share your realizations. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. It's a very, very inspiring class. Thank you for your assistance, Mataji. really there's so much of information you included in the class. Thank you.
Thank you, Mata Anjan Mata.
Thank you, Mataji. Very nice class. You have given us so much examples of misappropriation.
Thank you, Mataji, for your association always.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Satsagri Mataji. Thank you so much for such beautifully presenting this whole class through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam by giving so many examples of various pastimes. So, thank you so much for your wonderful class, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ketita Mataji, for giving me this opportunity. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mata.
Thank you for the beautiful class. Thank you for those learning points which you explained, and thank you for the glories of King Pratap Rudra. Actually, you were calling me, but I couldn't speak. Can I share some of the realizations which I got from this?
Oh, please, Mata, I would also benefit. Thank you.
I don't know if it is correct, Mataji. Please correct me if I'm wrong. From this past time when I read this, when you were reading the translations, I understood that I think we should be so careful in making offenses that we should see that it's not so unpleasing to Lord Krishna that he goes away from you. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to leave Jagannath Puri and he's planning to go to some other place, right? I forgot the name of that place. Alanatha or something, right? So this is one point I learned. I don't know if it's correct. You already explained it. Just because we are feeling regretful in the end of making mistake, we should not expect Krishna to forgive us. That doesn't make all our mistakes nil. What we have done, we have to pay for it. That also, I just got the realization, I don't know. And how devotees approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for forgiving or helping Gopinath. So this was discussed, but how devotees are merciful and they are our shelters and we get Krishna's mercy through devotees' mercy. That also I just got realization, Mataji. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. Please correct me. And thank you for a beautiful class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for those realizations. They were very beautifully. You were looking at the other aspect. It was very nice to hear from you, your realization. So anybody else wants to share what their thoughts were?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I just, please accept my humble obeisances. I loved your class and I really get to learn every time I join Bhakti Sangha Japa group classes. Mataji, I had this question. Suppose there is some mundane problem that you have, but that problem is causing an obstruction in your devotional service that, sometimes your mind is so much overpowered by that problem that it does affect your chanting because you're so distressed. In that situation, is it not right to go to the guru for guidance? I mean, it's just a question. I don't even know if I'm asking the right question, Mataji. Please forgive me.
Oh, no, Mataji. Thank you so much for, giving your association and for a beautiful question. And yes, like you said, it's good to approach the spiritual master, with... like I said, some mundane hindrances which may be actually affecting our spiritual sadhana. But even in that, this is from my personal experience, I'm just sharing. Once I was serving my Guru Maharaj, I just want to make it clear, it's okay to approach your guru for, something which is obstructing your spiritual life. But there could be circumstances where that may not be, a great idea too. So I'm just sharing one incident which happened with me personally. So there was some problem I had Which I went and discussed with my guru, and that was actually obstructing my service to him. I was cooking for him at that time. So this was actually roiling me. And so Guru Maharaj had sensed it also. And then I, you know, thought I owe him an explanation. And so I went and spoke with him. The first time he tried to guide me, and, he told me that things like this happen and you should... don't worry, I'll take care of the situation, things like that. And then next time also, I had one such situation. I don't know why I get into these situations, but I got into some situation where I thought, okay, let me go and seek my Guru Maharaj's advice. But then the second time he told me, that time I was not initiated. So he told me, Sujata, I think it's good that because maybe you're going through the purification phase and so you're getting into these situations. So it'll be nice if you get the guidance from some senior devotees who you can confide in, maybe they can help you because I'm not sure I want to be, approached with all these kind of questions all the time like that. So the first time he helped me out and he was, he sorted the situation for me. But the second time he did tell me that, seek the, association of senior devotees, for such things. And if it is, of course, yes, I do write to my spiritual, even day before yesterday, I wrote to my spiritual master. If I have any questions, from Shastras, I'm not clear on something, I do write to him regularly. And I ask him, and he sends me back the response within 24 hours and if not sooner. So, and if he is not able to, he even apologizes. That's the mercy of my spiritual master. But all I'm trying to say is some things, if we are able to not disturb our Guru Maharajas and perhaps seek guidance from, senior Vaishnavas who may have gone through similar situations, because life of a devotee is not easy. Like you say, we do come through problems and maybe other devotees are there, who are at a position who are able to give us that kind of time and able to walk us through the problem and get out of it. And rather than approaching the spiritual master. So we have to weigh how intense or how big the problem is. And perhaps, that's the lesson I learned, Mataji, that some things we should approach senior devotees for advice and some things we can ask the spiritual master. But that's where I'm coming from, Mataji. I don't know if it helped you, but that's my personal experience. I just wanted to.
Mataji, thank you. I always get a lot of guidance, from senior devotees like yourself. So I'm thankful. Dhanvat pranams, Hare Krishna.
Dhanvat pranams, Mataji, Hare Krishna. Sometimes, some problems, spiritual questions, I've also approached other Maharajas for answers. I was doing Bhakti Vaibhav, part one course with Hanuman Prishak Swami Maharaj. And so many questions I used to ask him also, as part of the course. So I don't know, we get guidance because ISKCON, like they say, Hanuman Prishak Maharaj, he told me this very thing that ISKCON, we do have the Diksha system, but mostly, on the practical level, we are doing a Shiksha system. So we have so many Shiksha gurus around us who are trying to guide us. And we are very fortunate to have so much association where we can get a lot of guidance, not only, from our Diksha guru, but also from so many Shiksha gurus. So it's a combined system in place, which is actually helping us grow in our spiritual lives.
Yes, Mataji, that's very true. Actually, I get to learn a lot of things just listening to people's devotees' realizations. So it's wonderful, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So are there any other questions, devotees?
Hi, Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharajas and all glories to such a beautiful service, Mataji. Wonderful, how the explanation which you gave and how you split it up and each and every point you explained. It was really yesterday when I read three verses, I was just wondering, where do we get some more information on this? Because if we read through the script, through the CC, it is like only the words and the explanation given very short, right? As a translation. So I was wondering, where do we refer to? And these classes are itself a big bunch of references which you give, and really wonderful, Mataji. Like, so many things you covered up in this. For when you read through it, it looks so simple and it looks so okay. Like, okay, he went, he was, and he came to know about what the distress was, and then he tries to solve it. Like, so simple, right? Like, okay, 1, 2, 3. But then when you go through it, there are so many intricacies and there are so many things to learn. And as a devotee, and you know, like when somebody is there to explain you, it becomes just a plate full of delicacies given to you on plate, right? So I think you all are doing such beautiful service, and you all are feeding us with this nectar. And we are really fortunate to have so many wonderful devotees like you all, and who are so knowledgeable, and to share your knowledge with us. Praying that someday we can, at least me, should be able to imbibe that. It's going to take a lot of janmas, I don't know, not only years, a lot of janmas to inculcate those things. But thank you, Mataji. Really, really appreciate your efforts to put up so much. Because the way you have put up, I think you have made so much of research on how the kings, normally the kings in those areas, how, what is their daily routine, or what is their way of service, which is really like going all the way, way beyond, and finding out things for us. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Sita Priti Mataji, for your kind words of encouragement. And let me be very frank, I derive inspiration from your seva, the way you do. I've seen, and I think it's the other way around. You're like, I know, like, you don't sleep even many days, and you're so engrossed in your seva. So yeah, you're my source of inspiration, and everything I presented in today's class, the effort was made by stalwart devotees, and I'm just parroting, so nothing is, you know, no credit to me whatsoever. It's like the great disciples of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, our Guru Vargas, who have done all the effort. So yeah, all my humble obeisances to all these devotees who have you know, thought about this whole topic and presented so many different articles. Actually, when I was thinking of you, you like the pastime so much. There's this very beautiful pastime with Lord Rama, you know, that I had actually prepared, but because of time constraints, I'm not doing that. But I would like to share that with you some other time, Mataji. I know, because you are so keen to hear pastimes. So I just wanted to share. And thank you so much, Mataji, for your encouragement and your association on this.
Sure, Mataji. I will definitely be in touch with you so that you can share. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Like Preeti was saying, you know, like, perhaps we have to listen to all your classes, Mataji, the Govinda classes, the Damodar classes, and learn pastimes from there, because you all, Vinita Mataji, yourself, so many Matajis, Lakshmi, I mean, so many Matajis are presenting so beautiful, you know, in a very simple format to the kids. All the great philosophy is being, you know, like they say, churn the butter and give the butter, like that. You're giving it an easy to swallow butter like form to the kids. And that's, I feel that is a great seva. It's easier in one sense to kind of talk to an adult gathering, but to children, you know, to come down to their level and give these important teachings, it's a lot of hard work. And so I'm so inspired by all of you, Mataji, who do it day in and day out. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dantavat pranams. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, okay? Radhika. Hari Bol. Dantavat pranams to you too.
So, Mataji, beautiful class. I definitely loved all the lessons that you brought out, and also talking about Srimad Bhagavatam and how the kings in those days were so renounced. And when they were asked to leave all their opulence, they always did that without any hesitation. And that was seen with Prataparudra also. And you brought that out very, very nicely. So some of the realizations that I took from your classes, Mataji, we see that So here, Harichandana, even though it's previous classes, I just wanted to bring that up. We saw Harichandana Patra, he intervened in the situation. And we understand that he was the one who was insulted and slapped by Shivas Thakur. But still, he did not keep any grudge. And he came forward to help Gopinath Patnaik. And again, this shows that pure devotees are, they don't keep any kind of grudge on a devotee because that's not good for their development spiritually. So that that is definitely a takeaway for me. Again, I'm just seeing all the verses and trying to, because this is the first time I think I'm in fact sharing my realization. So I thought I'd better do looking at all the verses. And then we also see that there was some miscommunication between the prince versus king to Gopinath Patnaik. If you look at the chain as such, definitely there is miscommunication in the dealings between them. And obviously, when things are not clarified, I mean, it can go to the extent of even death penalty for Gopinath Patnaik. That is where it went to, because of obviously the miscommunications from Gopinath Patnaik to the prince, and prince then to the king. So I thought that was very important. Whatever communications that we do, we just have to make sure that it is clarified both ways and directly to the party whom you're addressing as well. So then, again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentioned that Gopinath Patnaik was saved because he chanted the holy names of the Lord during the time of death. So that in fact saved him, is mentioned, right? So I was thinking how powerful, I mean, is again, from Gopinath Patnaik's side also, he did not want any, he did not aspire for any kind of, I mean, he didn't expect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give him mercy or anything. I mean, he didn't expect that on his end. He was so, so since the death penalty was issued, he was praying to the Lord, and Mahaprabhu comments that this in fact has saved him. And also we see Mahaprabhu's attitude of how indifferent he is to the situation, because he didn't want his sannyasi, he didn't want people to think that he's misusing or making use of this advantage by saving Gopinath Patnaik. So he was very careful about how this whole problem was dealt. The whole thing on the indifference was really maintained by Mahaprabhu. So those are some of the realizations, Mataji. I just don't want to take much of your time, but thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for bringing out that point about Harichandana. I was not aware of it. So thank you for sharing that, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Radhika Kasturi Mataji, for opening up and sharing such a beautiful realizations. And yes, as you mentioned about the name Harichandan, how, you know, he was inspired by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to approach King Prataprudha and narrate the whole thing. Thank you so much. Thank you, Radhika Kasturi Mataji.
Mataji, all glories to you and Sukhasari Mataji and others who speak Chaitanya Charitamrita and always help us go deeper into the subject matter. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Okay, are there any more questions or any comments? If not, Anjana Gopika Mataji, would you like to take over?
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. Thank you all the devotees for joining. Now we can end the call by paying our obeisances to Her Grace Sukhasagari Mataji and all the devotees in the call. Bans Kalpatar Vesa, Kripa Sindhu Bevasa, Patita Nama Pavane Bio, Vishna Bebio, Namo Namaha, Chaitanya Charitamrit Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you, all the devotees.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.